Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we talk with Dr. Matt Hovind. Matt is a professor at St. Joseph's College of the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Canada. He researches questions about education, sport, and religion, and his latest book is called Hockey Priest, Father David Bauer and the Spirit of the Canadian Game. And that's what we're going to talk to Matt about. We're really excited to have him back. So let's get started.
Well, we're excited to have Matt Hovind on the show this morning. Matt's no stranger to Sport Faith Life. Matt, we're so glad to have you. And can you tell us a little bit about not just sport, but tell us about hockey in your life? We know that's your sport. Tell us about hockey.
Okay. Hockey, it's the Canadian game. You know, if we want to think in the U.S. about American football, well, you know, hockey is Canada's game. It's like when you think of ESPN, we got our TSN, Sportsnet, it always starts with hockey. We have hockey year round. We are talking about it. For me, hockey started just outdoor rinks, playing outside. And now currently my son is in hockey. And so I coach with him and whatnot, but really hockey takes on a life of its own. Try to think, some people will compare it to a religion in Canada. It follows the seasons. You know, Canadians are hardy people, and hockey is a game that's traditionally played outside, and it's a rough and tough sport. It's not like your traditional English games, your gentlemanly games, but it's tough. It's aggressive. There's fighting, there's violence in it. And so it's a passionate game. It's fast. It's energetic. And I know Americans, I always appreciated this when I met Americans, and they would say, hockey is the best game to watch live. Canadians will never say that. They never talk like that. They just think it's the best game. But Americans will say it's the best game live because of the energy and the speed. Man, these guys can go fast. Imagine thinking you're on a set of blades on your feet, and you're going like Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, going like 25 miles an hour. On this ice surface. It's wild.
You got me fired up here, Matt. I got to jump in, right? I'm ready to go. Okay. So my Red Wings, okay. They have taken a break from being on the national stage, international stage. We'll put it that way. Yeah. And they seem to be like, you know, coming back. Do they have any chance in the Stanley Cup process?
Well, for this year, I'm going to say no. Oh, I don't think they got it, Brian. Hurts. They've been losing. They got cold. Their goaltending is suspect. That's a problem. They always say a goalie's the most important player if you don't have somebody who'll stop the puck, keep the pucks out of your own net, you'll just lose. And so that's the problem with the Red Wings right now. They've beefed up. They got Patrick Kane from Chicago. They've done all these things. But really, I don't think they're going to do it this year. I think Yzerman, their general manager, he's got to wait one more year.
You know, I appreciate the honesty, and can't wait to prove you wrong. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I hope you're right, Brian. I hope you're right, but I don't think so.
After a football season where Brian was so excited because his team finally was good, just hoping for hockey, right? Hoping that would carry over throughout the winter. But
yeah, what happened in that NFC final game? Man, that was heartbreaking.
Just pick the scab, why don't you? Yeah.
Oh, that
How
is
dare
nasty.
You? Yes. Yeah. Well
Matt, let's transition to faith in your life. I mean, we know that you deal with Catholic theology. Tell us about that in your life.
Yeah, so I work at St. Joseph's College. It's this weird thing again that it's a Catholic college on a secular university, public university campus. So I've been there for 15 years, and we offer courses, undergraduate courses. So imagine you're a sciences student and you want to take one of our classes like science and religion or sport and religion. You can take our class on the Bible. So that's pretty cool. So in some ways we're in this Catholic school, but we're engaging a broader university, a public university with 40,000 students. So it's a pretty phenomenal setting. I got involved in this work. I was raised Catholic. My faith was important to me growing up. I found a lot of meaning and purpose in it. Helped me shape my world. And I just loved it. And I love studying theology and history. And I just kind of follow things along. And all of a sudden, I'm a professor. And now I get to write books and whatnot. So it's great.
Yeah, and we know like so much about you, just Chad and I, just because we've interacted with you. And I know that our audience doesn't know as much. But instead of looking for one thing that might help our audience get to know you, I wonder if I could ask a more pointed question. If you could just talk a little about that academic life and family, and tell me how you sort of negotiated those spaces in what can we call you, mid-career?
Yeah, I think so. I'm 49. Yeah. I've been here for 15 years. Yeah, how I've negotiated that? Probably not well. I find that my work and my family is probably everything in my life. You know, when it comes down to it, you make sacrifices. So I see my buddies once in a while, but my evenings and my wife's evenings, for that matter, we're either at the hockey rink or we're watching volleyball or soccer. And then when I get a spare minute, you know, I got to do my day job. And so I'm, you know, either writing, I walk to the bus or I walk to the train to get to the university. I usually have an article in hand. I try to learn on the go. You know, these are the bad habits you learn in graduate school, and you just keep them going because you realize you love your field, you love what you study, and it's so important. And when I think about, you know, anybody at midlife, you think about changes in your career and stuff, but I'm like, how could I leave? It would be so hard for me to leave my field of study. I love it. And I finally feel like I'm really knowing what I'm doing. It takes so long in a career to get your bearings and to really be able to produce. And I'm finally feel like I'm getting at that stage, and I just don't want to give up. And there's a lot of good work, and I feel like working with other people, we can make things happen. So it's good. It's a lot of work. It's busy. But it's really satisfying.
Well, we don't want you to give up either. It's been great to interact with you. The work that you produce has just been illuminating. But I think what I appreciate the most is from the first moment, I think I met you and then saw you present. You do that with just such buoyancy and engagement. You make things clear to other people. And so I really appreciate that. I appreciate that work. So along that front, let me just open with this question. You study theology and you study sport. Why would a sport fan even care about theology?
Well, you know, so I've written this book about Father Bauer, and I'll tell you a story about him. Before Lake Placid Games, he's speaking to coaches and players. And part of his speech that he gave that I was able to read, I pulled out of an archive, he said that you need to put sport in a larger framework. If you don't put sport in a larger framework, you're going to get lost. You'll lose your values. You'll lose your bearings about what you're about. And really, I think that's what theology, history, just deeper thinking about sport and what its purposes are. That's what Father Bauer promoted. And I think that's what faith can bring to it. I know there's a lot of good work in sociology that's done, sport history, really valuable. The thing that theology can give us is those fundamental questions about what is my purpose? Why am I on this earth? Where am I going? And it puts you in a larger framework. And I think that's where it's really valuable. When I think of young kids, I think of my own kids or people I've engaged with at the university and beyond, you can tell that sport is all encompassing. And if you're not careful, it'll just eat you up. It'll devour you. Like there, it'll take over completely. And when you're grounded in a faith tradition, there's a real benefit to that.
Well, we've all lived that, at least the three of us here on this conversation right now. We've lived that. We understand the perils that you're talking about. I'm so glad that you answered that question with a quote from Father Bauer. Tell us about this guy that you've chronicled here in the upcoming book.
Yeah. So Bauer was born 100 years ago this year, and he was born in Waterloo, Ontario, to a fairly wealthy family, a manufacturing family, good family business. And his brother played for the Boston Bruins, was an all-star with the Bruins in the 1930s and into the 1940s. So Bauer thought, I'm going to be a hockey player. And his father sat him down and said, is there enough of a life in hockey for you? Of course, that's all he dreamed about. He didn't think that. So he goes to a training camp and he realizes this isn't all that it's cracked up to be. He was a winger. So his job would be to go up and down the boards, up and down the boards, chip, you know, fighting for the puck. And he started to realize there's more to life than chasing a puck. Now, you would think then he would abandon hockey, but in the end, he becomes a priest and he coaches a team to a junior national championship. And then he starts Canada's national team and he takes several teams to the Olympics and world championships internationally. But through this all, he sticks with hockey because he believes that there's something to it, that there's this is a vital part of Canadiana. It's an international game that in hockey, in sport, you can make a difference. It might be a small difference in the world, but you can make a difference through sport. So that's what he was trying to say, that there's values, there's importance, there's purpose in the sport. And he was speaking to that and trying to challenge the hockey system along the way. So I found him a fascinating character. I had got into it because I wanted to know why a priest would stick in hockey for so long. And when I found his speeches, when I encountered people that he worked with and I got to interview them, family, players, it was really an illuminating project. It's a remarkable life.
So I think the question that intrigues you also intrigues me, this idea that somehow as his faith grew, his interest and love for sport also grew. And that was, that's interesting when you think about that, like an option is withdrawal. Like this is an old part of my life. This is a past part of my life. And he resisted that option ultimately and decided to stick with it. And what you say is like, there's something here, there's something in sport. And so then I want to try to get at that. When Father Bauer saw hockey particularly, I wonder, can you imagine what it is he saw about that sport? One, and two, can you give us some idea of the methods he used to try to leverage whatever that was into maybe his role as a priest, but also his role in hockey overall?
Right, right. So why was hockey important to him? He was about the seventh in 11 children in his family. And his brother, Bobby, who played for the Bruins, was older. And his father would watch from the family's company from his office window, and he could see the family house. And the kids were having problems flooding the rink. It was always, you know, was the ice surface level enough and these problems. So he installed tennis courts in their front yard. And so in the winter, they had a nice smooth surface to make ice. And so the family, it was in their blood. His older brothers all played ice hockey. His sisters were great athletes and good hockey players too. So it was in their family and they were nationalists. They believed that Canada had a role to play on the national stage and that hockey, international hockey, was a way to make connections and ultimately to bring about peace in the world, that countries, instead of being divided against one another, that they came together for sporting events, and that in those events, they're breaking down barriers. It was a way to bring people together and to talk about things. So that in a larger setting, he really did have a bigger view of the sport. Now, unfortunately, with professional hockey, he saw the problem there was that it was all about money and it was all about violence. And you know, there was a quote from the NHL president at the time who said in the 1960s, you know, I don't care about the 500,000 Canadian boys playing hockey. The NHL is just about getting the best players. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And so in that, Bauer said, they don't really care what happens to our young people. It's not like they're trying to be destructive or brutal to kids, but it's just really when it comes down to it, it's about the bottom line. And so Bauer started to push against this system. So when he started the national team, what he ended up doing was he started saying to some young players, say you're 20 years old, and instead of going to the NHL, he'd say, come and play with the national team. You'll travel the world. You'll play international games. Bauer was a good coach in his own right, and that it would be a great experience, and it would help you move along. So what ended up happening was that these guys who would join the national team would go to the NHL, and because they had that experience, were older, had an education, they would get paid more money. They could negotiate better. They weren't desperate. And so Bauer starts talking with Bobby Orr. They ended up getting Carl Brewer, an all-star defenseman from the Maple Leafs. And so he starts challenging the hockey system and starts to make a new path in Canadian hockey. We can imagine the people running Canadian hockey, or North American hockey for that matter, weren't very pleased with him. And so that's where the story gets really messy, I guess.
Well, it sounds like that's where it gets fascinating as well. I mean, who would challenge that? I'm thinking as you're talking, well, of course, we have plenty of people who are in ministry, who have given their lives to their faith, who are willing to dabble in youth sport because it's helping to shape young kids and giving them, you know, and it's fun to be around kids who are experiencing joy while playing sports. But Father Bauer is different because he's running the national team, right? He's at a top level. And so you're talking about the ways in which he's pushing against the establishment, which is fascinating. I'm curious too, how he navigated through some of the politics of international hockey. I mean, Canada wasn't an isolated country and never has been. And so you have a national team who would theoretically be playing against other national teams. Well, we're talking about the midst of a pretty tenuous time internationally. Did you find stuff about the role he played in some of those navigations?
Yeah. There's a lot of great material on that, Chad. You know, I could have called the book Hockey Diplomat, you know, instead of Hockey Priest. He was really a diplomat. He wanted to work with others to make a better system. And he wouldn't call people out publicly, but he was always in the back room speaking. He's flying all over talking with people. He's not only meeting with players for his team, but he's meeting with the leaders of Amateur Hockey in Canada. He's meeting with government officials. He's meeting with business leaders. They formed a foundation. And the foundation was actually called Hockey Canada. So that's the name of the national body today. But the first time it was named, that was actually an organization that Bauer helped found a few years before they actually founded Hockey Canada. So yeah, he was in deep into it. And to be honest, it was hard on him. It really ground him down. I think it was exciting early on when he thought he had a chance to really carve out a path. He kept that dream going. But, you know, when you're doing that for 20 years, it grinds on a person. And it was hard on him. You know, he wrote about his problems with weight gain, even drinking too much. He knew that this was big. A quote I like, a former executive director of Hockey Canada, and this guy was years later, Murray Costello. When Murray Costello, when I met with him to speak about it, he was a lawyer, and he said, Father Bauer was trying to take on the whole establishment. And it was just such a massive task. Like only somebody inspired by God would think of doing such a thing. And he tried it. The problem was the system was so set up that he needed help. He just couldn't quite carve a path. People were kind of anchored and partnered with different groups. And it was so hard for him to bring people together to forge something new.
So, you know, you really know a lot about Father Bauer's life, and particularly these tensions that you're bringing up with hockey. And I guess I'm still curious about the other side of his life. So he became a priest and then did some teaching as well. Can you speak a little bit to like what sort of priest life he was living? Was he leading a parish? And how long did that last? And then his teaching. And then I'm also wondering, was there any tension with that? Was there tension with the church saying, hey, get off the ice, Father, time to do some work.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. There were those tensions. So he becomes a priest, and for those that aren't Catholic is that, you either become like a, a regular parish priest, you're at your local church, or you become a religious priest. And the religious priest is like a group, and maybe people would know the Franciscan, St. Francis, they wear the brown robes and whatnot traditionally, and they follow the rule of St. Francis. So he followed a group. He was part of the congregation of St. Basil, the Basilian Fathers. And this group, a group of primarily educators. So they had a school, St. Michael's College School in Toronto, and that had this great hockey team, the St. Michael's Majors, and he won a national title with them as a player, as a coach. And so in that role, he was a teacher. He would teach religion, some little bit of psychology. He was a counselor. He became an assistant principal, and he's coaching hockey. Now, when that gig ends, he goes to Vancouver, and there's another college out there, and he's doing some teaching. He's kind of the head of residence, a chaplain at the college, and then he's working at St. Paul's Hospital, and he's teaching ethics and philosophy to nurses. But so he's working some in the church. He'll say like Sunday services and whatnot. But that's kind of what those roles gave him was flexibility, that he could do the hockey thing also. His faith remained important. He would say his office, his daily prayers every day. He would say mass every day. So he wasn't some renegade priest doing whatever he wanted. But at the same time, he was kind of a renegade priest doing what he wanted, because the head of his religious order realized, this guy is incredible. Like, he has such a gift. Why would we put him in a church and stifle this when he's got a gift with young people? So one Basilian priest I talked with, he said, you know, people were frustrated. Like when they ended the team at St. Michael's, they said, you know, they just thought Bauer would be done with hockey. And then he starts his other passion, and he keeps going to it for another 25 years. And some Basilian fathers did get frustrated. And there was a bit of a disconnect in some ways, because he lived this other life. But he had this way about him and this charisma, and the leadership was smart enough to see that they needed to let him go and to do this. So the one priest said to me, he's like, he realized that for Bauer, the hockey rink was his classroom. Or famously, one reporter said that Bauer speaks from Canada's largest pulpit in the nation, the sports pages of Canada's newspapers, because he was charismatic and he was good at hockey, but he did try to balance that faith part out. Later on in his life, he did take a sabbatical year in the early 1980s, and he studied scripture. He wanted to know more about the Bible. And he, at the end of his life too, he wanted to start up, he'd started a program somewhere, and it was transferring to Toronto, and it was called Quest. And it was a space for people to think about their purpose in life. It was based in the faith, but it wasn't overtly like trying to convert people, but it was just kind of a Christian approach to how do we live out kind of a humanistic way of trying to be our best self, anchored in the Christian tradition. He got more into that near the end of his life. Yeah.
I am like inspired to learn more about this guy. I just love what you're saying about it. About him, Matt, and it seems like this is a sport, faith, life kind of guy, right? I mean, the way that you're talking about him being a teacher and a coach and studying and teaching about ethics, theology, philosophy. I mean, this is like hockey, faith, life guy, right? No, number one, which I love. I'm curious, in the course of you writing this book, doing all the research for it, how has his life and his story, how has this work impacted you personally?
Yeah. So he dedicated his life to young people. In the end, he had no money. He had no retirement fund. And he wasn't sure how he would make ends meet. He ended up dying of pancreatic cancer when he was 64. So it didn't come to pass. But when you read that, and at the end of his life, he starts wondering about, did I do the right thing? Because he's helping people in the sport. And some of these people become really famous and really important in the life of hockey or Canadian Olympic sport. And he starts to wonder, like, kind of like almost like, what's in it for me? You know, just that honest human question. And when you read about that, and then I spoke with people and they said, Father, like what you have done and impacted people has been incredible. So it was hard for me when I'm writing this book not to think about what am I doing in my career? And how am I, as a university professor, it is really a life for young people, especially I'm at a small Catholic college. I get to know my students by name and share a life with them. And you start to realize that what is greater than that than to help young people grow and mature and develop. And so that's something that's really anchored to me. The other thing that I've learned from him was he really emphasized this idea of Christian humanism. And that's the thought of just living out your dignity as a child of God and developing your gifts to their fullest potential and questioning and challenging things in society. Like he had a lot of beefs with the education system and concerns about how we're educating young people. And is it really about their benefit? And that's where he thought that education really needed to focus on the real needs of young people, not just teaching them a bunch of skills. And that translated then into hockey. He didn't want hockey to simply be about skill development. He saw that as a problem. If it was too much skill development, hockey players need to know what they're about and what their purpose is. He had a great line: if you make a better person, you'll make a better hockey player. And you see that educational side working out. So that's impacted me as a dad, but also in my work life. He's got a neat way to frame things that I think people are open to, and that makes sense. Yes, he was a priest, but it was really about how do we make a better country? How do we make better communities? And his faith inspired that, but he wasn't telling people to be a Christian, but it was about making a better world for the next generation and bringing peace and justice even to people.
Yeah, there's just a lot of words of wisdom in there from Father Bauer. In terms of how he approached life, work hard, be a decent person, continue to pour into others, ask yourself tough questions, and keep moving forward. You know, and love your institutions and make them better. Right. In some ways, those were all built into his time period and built into his work, and those are inspirational for all of us now. I think with Chad and I and you all we have access to young people to try to influence their lives. And sometimes we just take that for granted, what a opportunity that is to have an impact and the satisfaction that comes with that. Those, when you ask those later in life questions, I think that those are real inspirational words. Tell us as we close this out, Matt, how do we get our hands on this book? What are you thinking about next?
All right. So the book is published by CUA Press, a Catholic University of America Press. But you can also go on amazon.com.ca and get it there. Maybe we'll put on a link below this podcast. I've got a little 3-minute video if people want to share with somebody just a glimpse of it too. Hopefully they share the podcast. What I'm working on right now, I've got a project about Catholic education going on right now. I'm working on some interviews I did with chief superintendents. Kind of that's my other world. It's more of an educational bend. And then I'm working with these two guys, these two Americans and a couple Europeans on this project on a history of sport and Christianity of the last 200 years. It's incredible, but that's a slow moving project. It's at an iceberg pace. It's not moving too fast, but we are gaining momentum and drawing people together. That'll be a neat project so people can learn about the history of sport and Christianity in North America and throughout Europe. That's going to be great.
You know, we really appreciate you reaching out to those Americans. That's fantastic.
Well, we always need a token American on an international project.
Or so two.
Thanks for filling in. Exactly. We've got two of them.
Yeah, shocking. Yeah. Matt, great to spend a little time with you. Thanks so much for coming on Sport Faith Life, the podcast. And we just look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Great. Thanks a lot, Brian. See you, Chad.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life.